Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's celebrate. I'm the kind of person, I like to celebrate Jesus, you know. The Bible says, let's make our boast in the Lord. When you're boasting, you're confident about this person, you want the world to know. And somebody once says, if you're happy, don't forget to let your face know it, sir. He's a good God. As I sat upstairs and we were singing, one of my favorite songs. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. There's just something, when you sing, I always tell people this, that when you sing, you're just expressing your conviction through melody and song. And David spoke all the words of this song. So sing it not as a song somebody wrote, but as a conviction you express. And very quickly, I'm not even going to get into that. Whenever you worship God, you have audiences, you know. Your first audience is you. How many of you, when we're singing, the Lord Almighty reigns, you're like, the Lord Almighty? No. Gosh, he's on my side. He happens to be my daddy. He happens to be my strength, my stronghold, my hope. And you know what? He reigns. When somebody reigns, they control everything. Now, so I felt like just bring it on. Why? Because my daddy reigns over every circumstance, over every situation. May we be a church that knows how to express God. Because that's what the world out there is in trouble. It needs help. And we're trying to tell the world, we have the help. We have the hope. May we live our lives like that. Don't ever sing another song. Communicate in song. There are many audiences to your song. Your own spirit heard it. How many of you, when you were singing the song, you were happy? Or the worship that we sang? We are triumph for our enemies. Yes. So your own soul, you're healing your own soul. Amen. When you worship. It's for you. Yeah. You know, it's for God. But in his goodness, he lets it benefit you. Yeah. Time doesn't allow me to even tell you what happens to the enemy. But never take sound for granted. Amen. How many of you have ever, you've watched a film? Maybe a horror film or maybe a thriller. I love thrillers. Who done it, you know? And then you got up to go to the kitchen or to the restroom and you don't really know what's happening, but you can hear the sound. So you know nothing's happening yet. Because when tension comes, you don't hear something like, na 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 na. It goes up. Is that true? What's happening? Oh no, have they caught them yet? Because the film writer uses sound to communicate effect. You can hear a sound right now, boom! Your heart jumps. It's the same when we worship. That's why Jehoshaphat sent praise ahead. And every time in scripture that the praise goes ahead of the people, there's always spoil waiting because the enemy hears and he flees. May your worship always cause the enemy to flee. Never come in here waiting for something to finish and then something else happen. No, you came with intent. You came to build something. Maybe another time, if I'm allowed to come, we will get deep into worship. We'll become a worship warrior. You understand. You can create the presence of God wherever you go. You can send the sound of God ahead of you wherever you go. And no, I want you just to remember, every time you worship, you have audiences. Even God hears. He likes what it is. He's enthroned in it. In the book of Hebrews, Jesus said this. He said, I worship. I hear the sound of the assembly and I join with them. And then the next thing he says, he said, when he joins in our worship, he releases a revelation of God. The revelation doesn't just come through the preacher. Learn to sit there, stand there, worship, and allow God to drop words into your spirit, man. We're with God all the time. So all I want you to do is let your worship work. And I'm going to tell you a quick story before I get into the word. Many years ago in church, I remember one of our leaders came, her daughter wasn't a believer. You know how you bring them up and then they get to university level, then they decide to do their own thing. So she just happened to drop her mother off at work. That day at church, her mother was late. So when she came, the worship was going on. We didn't have a nice place like this. You could hear the worship from the roadside. So she parked there. Her mom rushed into church. 4 hours later, her mom goes out. Her daughter is still in the car. Car hasn't moved. She's crying. Her mom said, what's happening? God came in the car. The worship. Something of the worship. penetrated the walls, entered the car. The girl was mobilized. She got convicted, saved all by herself, standing there because of the worship. Many people are in this mall. Come on. Next time, let's release a worship with intent, worship leaders. Don't just stand here and worship. We release something understanding that yokes will be broken out there. That's who we are. They don't have to come in here before yokes broken. If every time you have to get a religious setting, then our God is limited. But the last time I heard, he was unlimited. He can work everywhere. So pray. Leave. Whenever I leave a hotel room, I feel sorry for the person coming next door, coming back after me, because I leave a presence in there. That's why whenever I enter a hotel room, I have to dispatch those who were here before me. Yeah. I don't know what they left behind, but it's been paid for in my name. I take control. Live like a person of authority. Live like you have control. And when you worship that the foundations will be shaken. Worship, I don't know who's going to come here after you to watch whatever film, but God, whatever film they are watching, the Holy Ghost, be with them. God, let we leave the presence in this place that wickedness will not be able to settle on everyone. Believe God that as people walk through those doors, they will be delivered. Believe God that whoever needs a breakthrough, as in his mercy and goodness, as he walks through that door, that your worship will do something for them. Come on, that's what the church is about. I don't believe in a weak church. I believe in a mighty church. Amen. Wheresoever the soles of your foot tread, it's not just the soles of your foot, it's what you take with the soles of your foot, that tread you possess. And so today, God, we even possess this territory for you. We possess this territory that people will know your goodness and your mercy wherever they are. People are coming out of their homes into the shops, going to the coffee shop with burdens in their heart. May the God of mercy meet them there. May the God of goodness meet them there. The God who met us met them, meet them too, and caused them to be saved. I want to thank God for Pastor Daphne and Pastor Young, just for having me, and they've become very good friends and a sister and a brother. It's been honorable and wonderful and just good, God's goodness coming into contact with them. I'm very, very privileged to be here. Thank you very, very much. Thank you for your kind hospitality. I know if the people don't like you, they'll tell the pastor, don't invite that person again. So if I'm invited back, I know the people like me. Thank you so much. And thank you, Pastor Nathaniel and Pastor Lynette. Thank you so much. Well, this morning please get the morning service thing, because I'm preaching something different this afternoon. I'm going to very quickly, and it's always a miracle for me if I'm able to do what I have to do within the time that's left for me. Everybody has a different miracle. People expect healing. People expect deliverance. I expect God to extend the time for me. And everybody has their own burdens. But stay with me. I want to talk to you about three kinds of churches we can be. Don't ever take the church for granted. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. You can put it up for me, please. Jesus talks about, this Revelation talks about the devil. He says, woe unto the earth, the devil has come down. You'll always hear me use this scripture. Everybody needs a trigger scripture. That's why I live. That's why I do what I have to do. I work in 58 different countries of the world. I have no moment. I'm not going to be home till October, sometime, because there's work to be done. Everybody say, there's work to be done. This is not time to be sleeping. This is not time for me to be looking for comfort. However, if you seek the things of God, every other thing will be added unto you. I get to enjoy the world as I go along. Revelation 12:12, he says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and get great sea, for the devil has come down to you on this earth, having great wrath, because he knows. The devil didn't just come down to take a leisure. He has great wrath. He's angry. He's raging. And even heaven feels sorry for us. Heaven says, woe. Don't ever take the devil for granted. Even God is telling his church, I feel sorry for you because the devil is coming. But there's always an antidote. God is always one step ahead. Matthew 16:18 is the antidote. Put it there for me, please. Matthew 16:18 says what? I will build my. And what will happen? Woo, that wrath and that devil who is angry. And his works will not be able to prevail against my church. The church is not just a gathering place. The church is three things. We're a bride of God, Christ. We just happen to wear combat boots, okay? But we have a nice bride garment. We're in love. When we come like this, we're in love with our maker. We love you, Lord. We lift our voice. That's what we do. We are part of the church. We're his bride. It's a place of devotion. It's a place where our groom heals us, revives us. It's a place where we receive our marching orders and instruction. But it doesn't end here. We're a working body. We have to advance the kingdom of God. and we're a warring body. We come against everything that comes against the kingdom of God. Three things. We're worshiping bride, we're a working body, and then we're a warring army. So what does God say? Where do you come in? And what does God say about the church? You see, Nehemiah comes in, he says, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18, he says, you see the distress that we're in. Our city is not as it should. People are not saved. There's so much perverseness, so much evil going on. We are in distress because we live in that city. He says, whatever we do to build the city, we will gain too, okay? And so he comes to the people. By the way, do you know how long the wall had been down? The city had been distressed? 43,800 days. Nehemiah built it back in 52 days. Do the math for me quickly. Time's going. The wall has been down for 43,800 days. He built this in 52. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. He built it in 52 days. What is the math? Come on. 43,000 minus 52 is what? Gosh. Where'd you get these people from? What is it? Now, I failed math twice, but I finally passed it. Don't even let me try and calculate it. Huh? 42,948 days were shaved off. What is it that made a difference? 43,800 days, that's a minimal. That's 120 years. Some theologians said 150 years. The people built it in 52. What is the difference maker? Nehemiah says, because the people had a mind to work. When people change their attitude towards church, the mission impossible becomes mission incredible and mission accomplished. We will do this mission. We will turn our cities around. We will turn our world around. But the people have to change their attitude. So we're going to run through three things very, very quickly. I'm going to say to you, what does God say about church? Deuteronomy chapter 12, very quickly. I don't know. Every time I stand here, somebody presses the thing to make the time go quickly. It's honestly, this can't be natural. This is not of God. How many agree with me? Can't be natural. Okay. Deuteronomy 12 says this, verse 5. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses. Everybody say, where the Lord your God chooses. Out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place. And there you shall go. You don't go to church to become a Christian. But if you're a Christian, you are expected to be at church. Okay. There you shall what? Go. Everybody say, go. There you shall take your burnt offering, your sacrifices, your tithe, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your flocks. And there you shall, and so number one, where do you do? You go. Number two, he said, you are taking something with you. You give there. Everybody say give. So what do? We go, and then we do what? And then he says, and there you shall eat before the Lord your God. So what's the third thing we do? Okay. So you go, you have to be present. And then number two, you have to be involved. Because when you're giving, you're partnering with the Holy Spirit, you're engaging in what is happening there. And then number three, you get the benefits. You also eat there, you engage in what other people do. You benefit from it. So what are the three things we do? Go, eat. Because of time, I'm going to cut this short. Okay. So we said a lot of things. There's mission impossible. 43,800 days. What happens? A church, a people arise called the church. And then what? They change their attitude towards church and they build in 52. Mission impossible becomes mission incredible, mission accomplished. Why? Because we understand that we must go. We must attend. We must be present. This is obligatory. Okay, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Doesn't leave the option to you. You have no option. We show up. You go to church out of your love for your brother. Why? Because you've got to give them something. You got to give them the love. Today, Pastor Lynette thanked the people who made a difference, the workers. We wouldn't have it. Glorious worship didn't happen. Somebody has been practicing all week. Somebody learned a skill. You are not wearing, they give of their skill. We eat. We came. They gave, and the money, the service, we did a worship thing with our giving. It makes all this possible. Never underestimate yourself. And who has heard me teach about the mosquito? Okay, just a handful of people, so we can share that now. Can you describe an elephant to me, quickly? Don't waste my time. I have very little time. Describe an elephant to me, quick. It's big?
Heavy.
It's heavy, yes, ma'am. What else? It's hairy, it's ugly. What else? It's got a long trunk. Okay. Big ears, fine. Okay. Does anybody know an insect called a mosquito?
Yes.
Describe it.
Small.
Irritating.
Bites.
It bites. It's noisy. It sucks blood. It can make you sick. Do you know when you're traveling to a mosquito? I come here, you have dengue fever. Where I come from, we have malaria. Both of them are killers. Did you notice what you did? You described the elephant in terms of its size. You described the mosquito in terms of its impact. When was the last time you had an elephant in your room? But you have a mosquito every day. And you couldn't even describe it in terms of its size. Just small. Because nobody knows what that silly thing looks like. But you never forget its impact. Look at your neighbor and say, don't worry that you're small. You patch a great impact. You patch a great impact. Go through life with a mosquito paradigm. Everybody say mosquito paradigm. The mosquito doesn't care what you think about it. You underestimate it to your own danger. Because when it enters that room, it has a focus. The mosquito totally understands. Nobody can describe me, but it doesn't take away my effect. Yeah. Yeah. You won't come in here thinking I'm nobody. You have an effect.
Amen.
No church can achieve what it must achieve. It needs three things to achieve it. Number one, a God-given vision. Number two, building it God's way, following the patterns of God. And number three, the biggest difference maker, the people who must build. So let's talk very quickly in the next few minutes about the people who must build. I'm going to describe to you David's life. And David was in three, let me put it this way, David built three churches. The first church is found in 1 Samuel 22. And I don't have time to go there, but you can put it up if you like. 1 Samuel 22 verse 1. And it says, David went to the cave called Adullam. Everybody say Adullam. And many people attended that church. In fact, 400 in one day. How would you like, Pastor Lynette, to have 400 people attend here every day? Amen. The problem, it was not the numbers. When his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Let's roll very quickly. And in the meantime, somebody go out and tell the sun to stand still. Hold that clock while we finish. And everyone, listen to the quality of the people who came. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was broke, everyone who was discontented, gathered to him. So he became their leader. He became Pastor David. And there were about 400 men with him. Nothing wrong with this. But the people who came didn't come to do anything to build. They came to take. Every church starts like this. The problem is when the church stays like this, it becomes a parasitic church. Parasites take from you. They don't add to you. Meanwhile, the church was meant to add something to our city, make a difference.
Yeah.
Okay? The problem is that this is a miracle working church. People have breakthroughs. But if this is not why God built his church, these signs shall follow them that believe. It isn't say they came because of this.
Yeah.
They came because they came to work for God, and then the signs of other things follow them. So David has a problem here. Who is causing problems for me? Don't take it off. Okay? So if you scroll down, the prophet God now comes to tell David, get out of here, because this is a parasitic church. The problem with this church is that they're looking for the next breakthrough. They're looking for the next high. But there will always be other things that pull our attraction. You can't build with an Adullam people. They're selfish people. They only want what they want. If they don't like the word you preach today, tomorrow they won't come. How are you going to advance with such a people? Now, everybody say flat. Adullam is flat. Easy come, easy go. So the prophet tells David, move on from here. So David starts another church, 1 Chronicles 21. And in this place, 1 Chronicles 12, verse 16. Now David starts in this place, it's called Ziklag. Everybody say Ziklag.
Ziklag.
What's the first one? Adullam. And what is Adullam? Flat. Easy come. Because at the end of this day, you're going to have to tell me what kind of church you want to be. Number two is Ziklag. Ziklag means curvy. Ziklag is curvy. It's not so easy to go. You come, it's not so easy. You go, it's not so easy. Now in Ziklag, 1 Chronicles 12, David's now wised up. Can I borrow Pastor Nathaniel? As people come, David stands at the door and says, why are you here? Now these were the men who came to David at Ziklag. While he was still a fugitive from Saul, the son of Kish. Now listen, The first time the first church was being described, what did they describe? They described the people's needs. Watch the description of this church. The people that came were among mighty men. Help us! Different kind of quality people. It matters what kind of people you have in the church. It matters what kind of attitude they bring. It matters how they have the understanding of their own relevant place in building the church. It's not about the pastor. When I teach leader, oh gosh, time. But I'll tell you why. Can I share something with you very quickly? Your pastor is a leader. Every leader, and for those of you who are in management and leadership, hear this. Every leader is like an orchestra conductor. An orchestra conductor knows what the music ought to sound like. So if it's Handel's oratorio, hallelujah, hallelujah, he knows it. Now his job as a leader, as the conductor, is not to learn to play every instrument. His job is to know what this music ought to sound like and find people who can produce the music. So he begins to hunt for talent. Then he finds somebody who can play the oboe, somebody who can play the keyboard, somebody who can play the trombone, somebody who can do the cymbals. And he gives the music to them to interpret their own way. His job now is singular. Now he has found the talent. Now he has given the sound of the music and the vision. He stands there and he amalgamates it. They start to play and he makes it all bring together. And it sounds brilliant. But he doesn't need to know how to play a single instrument. Because for the music to happen the way it has happened, is dependent on the talent that comes in. Everything we have here has been dependent on the talent that came in and the yieldedness and the skill. I go to some places, I have to shut down the music. I'm like, okay, we'll sing a cappella because this is so bad. Thank God we don't have that here. So they came, help us in the walk quickly. Now what happens? Okay, next one. Armed. The talent came with what? Their giftings, their capacity. Armed with bows, using both right hand, they were ambidextrous, right hand and left hand, hurling stones, shooting arrows with the bow. They were of Benjamin, Saul's brethren. Go quickly, quickly, quickly. The chief was Ahaziah. They go down to 13, 14, 15 for me. I'm on fast forward. 16. Then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold. And then what happened? 17. And David went to meet them. And this time he's had it. He said, I'm not having an Adullam people. He says, why have you come? Why are you attending this church? Why do you attend Cornerstone? Have you come to help me? If you have, my heart will be united to you. But if you're not helping me, you're standing away. Can I have three or four people quickly? I've got just a few minutes left. Three or four people just come here. Just stand. I like to demonstrate because it leaves something in people's. In every church, there are three or four different kinds of people. Okay, just stand in front of me. Okay, one. Okay. There are people who are initiators. They think up everything. Their eyes on everything. When they go home, they start to think, this is how the church must be. We can do these things to improve things. They are visionaries. They dream. Once the vision is given, they take it personally. They dream about it. They pray about it. I pray you'll be one of those people. Those are great leaders. Okay? Then we have people who are enablers. Enablers, after these people have dreamed, they make things happen. They serve. Then we have people who are just watching to see what will happen. You know, these are the most dangerous people. Because they are sitting there, we think we have an army. But they didn't come with anything. They are sleeping on the watch. The thing about those people is also, as the rest of us are marching, they are in our way. There's got to be an accident somewhere. Ask your neighbor, are you an enabler? Are you an initiator? Or are you one of those obstacles? I know nobody in church present today. Only those who came in the morning, don't tell them. Okay? So David says, why have you come? Have you come to help me? Are you come to build with me? Did you come here to eat? Or did you come here to give? Thank you, sir. Only you. Rest of them sinners the whole time. He says, because if you're doing that, you're betraying me. You leave the work of God vulnerable because you're not covering it. He says, but God will bring judgment. Now, 18 is very important. Let's go there quickly. A question, but who answers the question? The Holy Spirit. God doesn't leave it to man to answer because man's about to say something foolish. So God, the Holy Spirit, takes this thing on personally. He comes, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Amasai, who is their leader, who must really answer. And the Holy Spirit shuts down his mind and the Holy Spirit speaks by him and listen to what the Spirit says. We are yours, O David. They make a commitment to the leader. And then they say this, we are on your side. What's the vision, Lynette? Share with us because we're ready. Woo, don't waste our time. Go, 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 go. We're on your side. Jonathan's armor bearer said to Jonathan, what are you talking for? Let's go. Whatever it is that God has given you, I'm ready. Meanwhile, they only have one sword. But by the time he kills somebody, he's got a sword. When you start working for God, you pick up anointings. The anointing doesn't come before. It comes when you get engaged. You think I spoke like this all the time? No. But the moment I started to serve God, God began to trust me with anointings and giftings. Anybody ready for some great big anointings wherever you have to go? Everybody, one of us should be ready for some goodness. What is God going to do with his own anointing? You need it. You need it and he's ready to give, but he has to find trustworthy people. When you show up to give, when you show up to serve, God, you will be amazed what you can accomplish. I was telling them, I in my job, I take on CEOs. I speak to political leaders. When I sit with them, I don't know what I'm going to say. And my heart is pounding. I look cool, chill. But I'm like the proverbial duck. My legs are, what am I going to say? But the moment I open my mouth, because I present myself to serve, the spirit of counsel comes through my lips. May you know the dimensions of God you've never known before. Because you offer yourself to serve. Ah, listen to me. Let's go. He says, we are on your side, O son of Jesse. Peace. We speak shalom. We speak fulfillment. We say flourishing to this house of Cornerstone and to the people who also work in Cornerstone. In other words, we will cooperate. Time doesn't go. Let me even talk to about people who don't want to listen to anybody by pastor. You know, if pastor doesn't say it, then they are not doing it. Because we believe God is in this work. And David made them leaders, and the spirit of leadership came upon them. However, in Ziklag, what's Adullam? Quickly, we're finishing now. What's Adullam? What's Ziklag? Because now every commitment you made will be tested. So now they are tested. At a time when, remember, David, it getting too much for him. So now he flees. He says, Saul's going to kill me. And he goes into Philistine land. Okay? Be careful how you make decisions when you're under pressure. It'll become a bait, or you can have breakthrough. David went to the Philistine land, and in that place, he made a wrong decision. He says, if I don't go now, the enemy will finish me. Don't listen to that lie, because God is always with you. This is a whole different thing. Somebody needed this extra boost, okay? Whenever you're going through pressure, your biggest danger is the choice you make. So, Father, everybody put your hand on your head. Say, Father, give me the mind of Christ. Give me the mind of Christ in my decision making. Influence every choice and every decision I make. Shut doors to entrapments of the enemy. David goes to Philistine land. And by the way, for 18 months, he never writes, the sweet psalmist of Israel never writes one single psalm. His worship dies. In your decision making, in your pain, don't end up where your worship dies. That's a whole different sermon, but somebody needed to hear that. Don't make a decision based in your pain. You will end up. He never writes one psalm. He makes himself vulnerable. He makes the team vulnerable. All their children and their families are taken captive, all because of one decision to escape pain. God sustains you in your pain, but somebody needed to hear that. That's not my message. And then when their families are taken captive, these same people who have spoken covenant of commitment now turn on David and say, we'll kill you. David cries till there are no more tears. And then finally, you remember the story. God tells him, pursue, overtake, and recover all. You don't need to recover anything you needed to have lost in the first place. Anyhow, you lost it because of your decision. So this Ziklag is still not a church you can really take a city with. Because the people they'll only go with ease when everything is okay. So David still can't build an advanced kingdom with these people. Let's look at the third church and I'm done. 1 Chronicles 12:21. Quickly, and we're done. Are you still getting something out of this? Yes. What's Adullam? But it's still the parasitic church. Ziklag, curvy, the covenant-breaking church. They make covenant, but it's only when it's convenient. So he comes to a third church in Hebron. Hebron is the highest place in natural Israel. Hebron is a covenant place where all our covenant fathers are. Covenant, wherever there's covenant, there's power. But covenant will cost you something because covenant comes with sacrifice. Okay, but wherever you see sacrifice, there's power. So our praises are sacrificial, our giving is sacrificial, our offering of our lives is sacrificial. Every time you see sacrifice, power is released, even for pagans and voodoo worshippers. That's why every religion has some form of sacrifice, because that's where the power comes from. To advance kingdom is going to take some sacrifice. Okay. As the Jamaican person would say, what go on? And they helped David against the bands of raiders, for they were all mighty men of valor, and they were captains in the army. Go to 22. For at that time, they came to David day by day. May God add to this ministry day by day, by day, by day, by day. Thank you for the three amens. Amen means that's a true statement. So we demand that it is been. When you say amen, you ground it. Amen. You take it from the heavenlies and you ground it and establish it. Until, everybody say until. It was a great army, like the army of God. May this church be not just a gathering. May it be great like the armies of God. He's not talking about just numbers. It's the quality of the people. Okay, now let's finish. Come on. What is this Hebron church like? They said they now there were the numbers of divisions that were equipped for war. Everybody say equipped for war. And came to David at Hebron to turn over the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. Do you notice the difference in the helpers? Every time they're describing the church, they describe the quality of the people that came. Number one, the first Adullam came because they wanted something for themselves, just to eat. Okay. Number two, people came to give, but they broke covenant. Number three, the Bible says, I'm going to finish you right now. Now, what does the Bible say? They came with an intention to turn over the kingdom of Satan to let it become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. These people came, they were clear about the vision. They counted it as a privilege. They were clear about the outcomes, and they knew that they made a significant difference if they came. And they came because the word of the Lord said so. And the Bible says they came equipped for war with their skills. Go on. And then it begins to say, sons of Judah bearing shield and spear. This talking about their influence. They brought their friends too. These were an evangelizing people. They didn't come to church by themselves. They brought people. Okay? They were armed for war. And it goes on, and you go to 32, it talks about the sons of Issachar as a famous one from this chapter. Okay? Who the sons of Issachar, who knew the seasons and the times and what happened? They knew what Israel ought to do. But let me tell you, this is why we can't do it by ourselves, because what good is it if you know how to use spear, but you don't know what the enemy is doing? And what good is it if you have an Issachar spirit, you are very revelatory, you have prophetic unction, and you don't know how to use skill? So that's why the church needs everybody. Because everybody comes with a different skill. Don't ever look at one person here and think they hold it all. Don't ever look at another person and think, but I'm not like them. God has it. That's why he didn't make you like them. If I'm rushing through, please forgive me because of time. Not my fault, it's your pastor's fault. You know, don't tell him I said so. You know, so all of these things go down because it shows us different people came. Go down to the very bottom of that chapter, please, and I'm done. And this is what preachers do. They close their Bible so you think they are done. Are we done? Okay. Are you learning something from this? Yes. Moreover, those who... Listen, it's beautiful. Go to 38. Let's read from 38 and we're done. Hurry up. All these men of war, they could keep rank. People who keep rank know what God has given them. And they come and they find their place. Can we come, five or six of you? Come quickly. Speed is of the essence. Four, five, or I promise not to bite. Honest. Yeah. So they find their place. They find their place very quickly. And another sentence says they keep battle formation. So to keep rank it, you find, I'm a preacher. He's a technician. I know she does the interviewing and the stuff and the photography. You see how every skill and everybody fits in. Everybody realizes their significance. The opposite of significance is trivial. Thinking, this is nothing. But the people that came, they realize, I make a difference to what happens in this church. I may be the usher, but I make a difference. I bring order. I'm an intercessor. I make a difference. I create the, I'm a worship leader. Everybody feels confident. Even those who look out, you look after the children. Even those of you who do nothing and you show up every week, you make a difference because you lift up your voice and you attract the presence of God mighty in this. And people get healings. You may never have a microphone, but your heart, pata, you bring something down from heaven and somebody is blessed. They kept rank. Another verse says they kept battle formation. They didn't move. They were not here one day and outweigh another. They are reliable, dependable people. They bring others with them. This is a strong army. Don't worry. Nobody wants to see me. They just want to see this. And all the rest of Israel were what? Okay. All these men of war, let's read together. All these men of war who keep running came to Hebron. Did they come to Adullam? Ziklag? Hebron is a place of alliance, partnership, doing it together. Covenant. One. United. Everybody putting in an effort. With a... Not today they are hot, tomorrow they are cold. You could rely on them. They came committed. Commitment is like glue. Everybody say glue. Glue. Stickability. To what? And they came with vision. To make David king over all Israel, because that's what God wanted. And all the rest of Israel were of one mind. When we're all not going, giving, eating together, we're not of one mind. Thank you. Now the next line. We're done now. And they were there with David 3 days, eating and drinking. All these people were, you know why they were eating and drinking? They were building koinonia, fellowship. They get to know each other, relax. When we finish, don't rush home. Say hello to somebody. Bond with somebody. Ask somebody, let's go have a coffee. Because this is our strength. The strength is in our relationships. Where there's strong relationships, there's trust. You can't go to war with people you don't trust. New people had joined and David didn't know them, so they were going to eat and fellowship together. When you eat and fellowship with people, you really tell their character. You try playing ball with me. You see my competitiveness will come out and then you really know me. You forget all this anointing business. Okay? And they were there with David 3:8, eating it. For their brethren had prepared. Let me finish this 40 quickly. Moreover, those who were near to them from as far away as Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali were bringing food on donkeys and camels, provisions of flour and cake. Dim sum. Cakes. I've seen them all. And the reason I saw this is when we started, you saw men bold, ambidextrous, could use spoil. So then suddenly we are down to dim sum. Because can we eat a sword?
No.
But there are people who can make great dim sum, right? Yes. Even they are necessary for war.
Amen.
That's why God bothered to put cake, for goodness sake, cake. In a time when he's talking about war, he wants us to know nobody's useless in the house.
Yeah.
Everybody brings something. The reason you haven't joined the army is that you thought what you had was not necessary. And God sent me all the way from London to tell you, we need you.
Amen.
For there was joy. The end of this story is this. There was a city called Jebus. For the first time, David said, I'm going to take that pagan city and turn it into a city for God. And the people said to him, you can't do it. Saul couldn't do it. Joshua couldn't do it. David said, you've never seen an army like this. This is a partnership army. This is a deliverous army. This is a giving army. This is a yielded army. Was the first army parasitic? Was the second army covenant breakers? But this one is different. They finished. And I always say this. I like to picture as you enter Jebus. Welcome to Jebus, the city of voodoo, the city of pagans, the city of apostasy, the city where we do not want nor know Jesus. David conquered that city. And he put up another sign. Welcome to Jerusalem, to Zion, the city of the living God. How many want to see our territory become the city of our Lord and of his Christ, the kingdom? But it takes this kind of Hebron army. So I just wanted to ask you, Pastor Nathaniel, Pastor Lynette, I'm done. Please come up. I'm really done. Because I want us to get a decision from the people today. Because I want you to answer me, which church? It's easy to have an Adullam church. You have 400 in one day. Do you want that, sir? You want an Adullam church?
No.
Yeah? Ziklag?
No.
Let me ask the people. Do we want an Adullam church?
No.
What church do we want?
Hebron.
But Hebron is only Hebron Not just because of God's presence, because God commands a blessing there, but it has to be the people first. So I'm going to ask you, if you're here, you want to be part of this Hebron church. You may not be able to have sword or spear, but you really know how to make them raisins or cakes. You just know how to show up. You know how to love people. You know how to smile at people. You know how to look after kids. You have great ideas for this ministry. You just rejoice. Some of you, we just look at your dance and your shout and we're happy already. You're here, put up your hands and say, I want to be a Hebronite. I want to add value. Please rise to this. Please rise. Please rise. Not everybody. Everybody sit down. I want to pray for Hebronites right now. You want to be those who add value. This is a very holy moment. I'm going to do one thing. I only want Hebronites. Please don't feel bad. Don't feel guilty. Because this is between you and God. But if you're standing up, that means we're recruiting you. We're conscripting you into this army. If you're standing up, that means we can look back as an army general and say, ah, come on, Jebus, I can get you because look at my people. That means you're going to be here and you're going to, before you walk out, we're going to have your name. We're going to have to give you time to say, I want to build. And so we're going to have to create departments for some of these people because their skills are some we haven't had before. Some of you, God sent you here prophetically. We don't even know that we need what you have yet. Don't worry about it. The Lord will lead you. But are you serious standing up or are you saying that because I said so? Everybody lift up your hand and say, God, here I am. I'm with your house. Lord, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I want to see your kingdom come. I want to serve you in this place. I want to surrender to you in this place. I want to make such a difference, Lord. Take the little that I have, oh God, and use it for your glory. Use it for your glory. If you can use anything, Lord, I know you can use me. Give me a C. You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, I know, God, you can use me. So take my hands, Lord. Touch my feet. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me. Because if you can use anything, Lord, I know that you can use me. Lord, look, this ministry refuses to be an adulam. We have no business by being parasites because parasites destroy ultimately. We are not covenant breakers like Ziklag, but we gather on the mountain of the Lord called Hebron. This is the mountain that Caleb was given as an assignment. This is the mountain of Zion. This is it. A gathering of the people of the Lord, ready to advance your kingdom and say, thy kingdom come. And Father, when we gather, Hebronites know why they come. They know what they carry. And they rank and file before the Lord of the armies of Israel. The Lord of hosts, Sabaoth is his name. This is your army, God. Now pour your spirit. Refine us. Give us skills like you gave Aholiab and Bezalel, that which you won will be built. Let the anointing sharpen, refine us. Let it strengthen us, oh God. Let it cause grace and favor to come. Empower your people until you're glorified, God, in this nation and beyond. Now, God, even as we seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, let all other things be added. I'm going to ask your pastors to pray for you. Pray for the people. This is a gift. Thank you for allowing yourself to be a gift of God. Thank you for allowing yourself to be God's gift. You are sent here on assignment. May God never disappoint you. May he supply every need that you have and hear every cry that you make.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.